chapter 24. That's getting pretty close to where Brother Smith was, but not the very place. Glory to God. Matthew 24. Verse 42. What's therefore... Thank you. What's therefore... For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if, that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite the fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the minister of the word. Now, this will be a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. I like that chorus. A beautiful day for the Lord to come again. A beautiful day for him to catch his children home. Oh, how I long to see his face and to touch his nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Amen. And I really believe that the motive of the preaching this morning has been to promote within us an inner attitude of readiness for the coming of the Lord. And he is coming. And we should be moved by the Spirit of God to live a life of action for Almighty God, readiness, and to awake within us the fact that if we're not prepared, we need to get prepared. Amen. I thought that was great as Brother Smith brought those things out, but I think every one of us will have to take a personal stand before God to be sure that we're making adequate preparation for the coming of the Lord. And the quick question is, when He comes, will He find us watching? When He comes, when they find us watching. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory to God. I'm not preaching yet. You didn't know that, but I'm not preaching yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's something here I believe that will be preparatory to the preaching of the Word this morning. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. Now, the fifth verse says, Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Praise God. I want to talk to you about the rapture this morning. But I want to talk to you about the rapture in relationship to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Our pastor made some preliminary remarks this morning about Pentecost. Nothing stinks worse in the nostrils of God than a dead holiness church. You can be holiness and be dead. But oh, thank God, you can be holiness and be alive. And I believe that's the important thing. And Jesus, in those last remarks before He left the earth, before He went to Calvary, told His disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. If I go away, I'll send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, and He shall abide with you forever." So I'm just a little persuaded this morning that we should be Pentecostal. If we can be Pentecostal, we'll keep that fire forever burning upon the altar. If we can be Pentecostal, we can make an impact upon our communities. And if we will be Pentecostal according to God's holy word, we'll be ready when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to get His waiting church. So I'm persuaded today that there is a definite relationship between the translation of the Church of Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why did I get saved? Why did the Holy Ghost put me under the blood of Jesus and regenerate my soul and make me a new creature in Christ Jesus? Why did the altar of God become a place where I was transformed into that new creature in Christ Jesus? It was because God had a purpose in mind for the redeemed, for the regenerate. And the scripture I've just read to you there in verse 5 tells us what that purpose is. "He that hath wrought us for the selfsame purpose is God, who also hath given unto us the Holy Ghost," hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. What is it? Verse 4 says that we might be swallowed up of life. Have you got it? You're saved today for that great and glorious day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return to earth to catch His waiting children home. That day, I believe, is upon us. Hallelujah. And I'm encouraged by that fact that Jesus is coming. And He's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such blemish. It's a church that loves His appearing. A church that's looking for Him. John said, "And he that hath this hope purifies himself even as he is pure." Hallelujah. That speaks holiness to me. That speaks a sanctified life to me. That speaks of a life that's wholly lost with Christ in God. Until I'm convinced today God had a purpose in saving us, and that purpose was that we might be raptured out of here, swallowed up of eternal life, changed into the image of Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, how I want to see Him. Look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. What a day. What a day that will be when we behold Him. Now, the scripture in 2 Corinthians tells us that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for that day of redemption of these bodies. Oh, my. What a day when we feel that sweet release. And we are clothed upon of our house from out of heaven. Glory. Now, I'm sure I'm not a theologian enough to be able to put this all together. But, you know, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And we have visions of "in my Father's house are many mansions." Well, that's great. But I believe along with that preparation of a constant abiding place, now use the term mansion if you want to, God also is preparing for us a redemption body. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a house from heaven that will never deteriorate. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no pain. There won't be any cripples. There won't be any blind. There won't won't be any hurting people there. But oh, glory to God, we're going to be swallowed up of life. What a day that will be. Glory be to God when we step off of this old terrestrial ball into the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. And shall forever be with the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I've got something to shout about. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm being kept by the power of God and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. I can get excited because I've got something to get excited about. Young folks, get excited about Jesus. Hallelujah! Get excited about the Holy Ghost. Get excited about the rapture of the church. Glory to God. There's a relationship here. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is Titus chapter 2. Why should we deny ungodliness? Why should we deny worldly lust? Why should we be sober? Why should we be righteous and godly in this present world? Here it is, right here in the Word of God. Glory to God. It's so plain, it's so evident. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't let me go out and dabble in sin. Don't let me compromise my life. Don't let me allow myself to indulge the flesh that Brother Smith talked about this morning. But let me crucify that old man with his ungodly deeds and thoughts. Nail him to the cross of Christ. Glory be to God, because I'm going to leave this old world and I don't want the flesh to hold me back. I don't want nothing to hold me back. I want to be ready to go. I don't count the things of this world of value. They're perishable. They're temporal. Here today and gone tomorrow. But oh, thank God to lay hold upon eternal life and to live a life unto God here and then be able to be translated at the sounding of the trump of God. That's going to be glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Going home to be with Jesus. Going home to be with Jesus. Glory to God. We've been begotten again to that self-same thing. And that same thing is rapture. Swallowed up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's translation. Translation. Oh, I just love to read about Enoch. Woo! Glory to God. He walked with God. He walked with God. You know you can't walk with God if you have divided devotion. You can't walk with God if your commitments are not up to date and you're not living for God like you should. You can't walk with God. Oh, Enoch, he walked with God. And the scripture says he was not. But before he was translated, he had this testimony. He pleased God. What kind of a testimony do we have today? Am I pleasing God? Am I pleasing the flesh? Am I pleasing the church? Am I trying to make a name for myself? Am I trying to be famous? Am I trying to be prosperous? Oh, thank God. I want to walk with God and have the testimony. He pleased God. And I can then be just like old Enoch. He's already gone. I don't know exactly what the future has for Enoch, but I know what the future has for you and for me if we'll walk with God and be perfect before the Lord in all the light that God's given us. My friend, it's going to be glory for me. Hallelujah. When by His grace I shall look on His face, there will be glory for me. Glory for me. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. By God's mercy, we are saved by grace. Thank God for it. Romans 8 and 23. Ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I feel something moving in my soul. And every day, it's there. It's been described as that gentle upward tugging. Amen. Getting ready to get out of here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we'll soon be done with troubles and trials. We'll soon be done with difficult situations. We'll soon be done with the attacks of Satan, with the temptations of sin. We'll soon be done, hallelujah, because, my friend, we're going to have that wonderful adoption, that wonderful redemption of our bodies, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you, there's going to be a great translating. Now, let me shift gears. Just a little bit. God had to pour out of His Spirit in the last days. Joel prophesied, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Hear it. Even servants and handmaids will receive this outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I cannot, and maybe I have to go back 50 years to find a foundation, I cannot preach about the rapture of the church and exclude the truth of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Now, I don't know what kind of interpretation you put upon it, but I believe that what Paul was saying, if the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ dwell also in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking for that grand translating. Hallelujah. Before I was baptized in the body by the Spirit of God and regenerated, before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, heaven didn't mean much to me. But oh, I want you to know, when I was saved by grace and went into the upper room baptistry and the Holy Ghost put me under, hallelujah, and I came forth speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, heaven was real. Heaven was real, hallelujah. I had a hope beyond this life. I had a hope beyond the veil of tears that we suffer here in the flesh. Oh, glory to God. I can encourage myself to know, boy, you're going to fly away one of these days. And you're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for the fullness of Holy Ghost power. Thank you, Lord God, for a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And I just can't preach about the rapture without preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the part that the Spirit of God is going to play in that great rapture of the church. It's important. It's important. And I think this present day outpouring that we've had of the last century and now going into this century is vitally important to emphasize. That same Spirit that fell up there in the old stone mansion in Wichita, Kansas. That same Spirit that moved in Houston with old Brother Sizemore and then out of Azusa Street when God moved and this gospel of Pentecostal baptism began to be spread across the nation and around the world. It has an impact on where you and I are today. No false anointing, no working of the flesh, no trying to put something on to imitate what God is, but oh, just to throw our hearts and our lives and our souls open that the Spirit of God might help Himself to us. Oh, glory to God! Hallelujah! Filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, baptized in the Spirit of Almighty God. I say it's an earth-shaking thing. It's a soul-stirring thing. It's a church-getting-ready thing. It's something that's going to take us out of here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank the Lord for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God. Some folks haven't seen it. I thank God I was able to see one of the best manifestations of God's presence on earth that the world has ever known. You know, all through the generations of time, since the day of Pentecost, There have been people somewhere in the world who were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spake in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Sometimes their numbers were little. Sometimes the number were larger. But I thank God that in the last 100 years or more, the move of the Holy Ghost has been going forward in the hearts of people who are clean, whose hearts and lives are dedicated, who are surrendered to God. Yes, and we have seen signs, and we have seen wonders, and we have seen miracles. But my friend, they didn't come from the hand of flesh or from the power of Beelzebub, but they came through the working of the Holy Ghost, bringing us the benefits of Calvary that Jesus died for and left to us. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for more power in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So when the Lord says, come up hither, I can say goodbye to this world and walk into the presence of the living God. Oh, my friend, that's wonderful to me. Hallelujah. If you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you have not yet experienced Acts 2 and 4 in your heart, let me tell you something, it's for you. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He's an advocate. He comes alongside to help you. Praise God. But I also believe He's going to take us out of here. He's going to take us out of here. We're going to leave. Not on the wings of an airplane or not by some supersonic invention of man. I wouldn't give $1 million to go to the station up there that they put in the sky like some folks are doing. But you know, I'd give everything, and I believe I am giving everything that I have just to be ready to go. When Jesus says, I'll take you far beyond the sky. I'll take you far beyond the planets. I'll take you far beyond the stars. I'll take you to a place that you've never been. Hallelujah. It's that place that Paul talked about when he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. There's no price too high to pay for getting out of here on the wings of the Holy Ghost and being forever with the Lord. Check it out. Pay the price. Pay the price. It's going to be worth it all. Hallelujah. Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. The swallowing up. The self-same thing. The rapture. That's the climax. There'll be nothing better. There'll be nothing better than this. You understand me? Glory to God. I know. I'm sorry I didn't get here last night for the service, the preaching. I know it must have been great. But let me tell you something. Forgive me, Brother McDonald. That's a drop in the bucket to the feelings that we're going to have when we walk into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think this man is a great, tremendous preacher. I think he's a man of the Spirit. But you know, he's going to deliver all this. He's going to deliver all of this into the hands of the Savior. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And just one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. Oh, just one look in the eyes of Jesus and just to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. It's going to be great.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh, folks, it's going to be glory. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be tremendous. Some of you folks don't believe it. Hallelujah! Don't knock it until you try it. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of us are baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's been some pretty bad statistics going out from Pentecostal churches and wholeness churches about the small percentage of people that are baptized with the Holy Ghost, to our shame. I hope we're all full of the Holy Ghost. But you know, I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour, when Jesus is coming. And I know from experience a lot of things can happen between the time you get full of the Holy Ghost and the time of the rapture. And Paul knew that too. And here in the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, we are troubled on every side. Does that sound like it? Yet not distressed. Glory to God. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Hallelujah. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Hallelujah. For all things are for your sakes. Woo! You're not deprived. You're not left a pauper. You're not left defenseless. You don't have to suffer defeat. You don't have to be cast down. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to suffer those things. Oh, glory be to God. All things are for your sake. All things. Woo! How rich is God? How almighty is God? How powerful is God? All these things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, feels so good. The inward man feels so good. Hallelujah. Is renewed day by day. His secret for our light affliction is but for a moment. Some of us have passed the 60 mark. And some of us have passed the 70. And some of us probably passed the 80. It just seems like a short time. For life is like a vapor. And this affliction, the things you go through in this life, are but for a moment, and worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Pull away the fog. Pull away the curtain. Woo! Let me look. Let me see. Oh, what have you prepared, Jesus? Well, I know Paul said, I have not seen and ear hath not heard and neither hath entered the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Isn't there something more to that scripture? Isn't there something back? But the Spirit reached up there and got a hold of that curtain and said, there it is. Get a look at it. Woo! Things not able to utter, but get a look at it. Oh, I feel that gentle upward tugging this morning. The Spirit of God is beginning to say, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I can see the Father standing. He's just about ready to say, it's enough. It's enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus will step over the balconies of heaven and come down in the clouds. Hallelujah. This same Jesus that went away. Woo! Think about it. Your religion may be a fantasy. Your religion may just be a story. Your salvation and your relationship with God may just be casual. But I'm here to tell you today, you can have a relationship with God that'll make you stand on your tiptoes when you walk into His presence and you feel the awe of the Holy God in the midst of the church. You feel the resounding of Holy Ghost glory as it comes into your soul. Oh, that's what I've got to have. That's what I want. Hallelujah. Folks, we are called. We are called to the glory of the Father that is ours from the origination of the earth. God had a purpose in mind all this time. And He wrought us for the purpose of being swallowed up with Him. So Peter said, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you suffered a while. Some of your sufferings may be robbing you from the assurance that God has given us. Some of your sufferings may be robbing you from the things that Brother Smith talked about this morning that keep you from getting involved with God. But after that you suffered a while, may God make you perfect. May God establish you. May God strengthen you. May God settle you. That's what this is all about. From one glory to the next glory. And some folks got it all wrong. And I love to shout. I love to run the aisles. I love to dance in the Spirit. Oh, you guys are crazy. No, I love that. I used to dance for the devil. Adulterous situations on the dance floor. I used to holler till I was hoarse at the things of the world. I got a different perspective now. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that when I get horses because I've been in the Pentecostal altar service. Glory to God. Praying somebody through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when I dance, it's because the Holy Ghost has come down in a supernatural act to loose my spirit to worship Him. Now, I'm not talking about the Christ for the Nation two-step or some of those things that are being taught in the charismatic world where you teach you how to dance and how to sashay and how to interpret this. Oh, no, I'm talking about a dynamic move of the Holy Ghost that grips your soul. Hallelujah. And you begin to demonstrate in the Spirit of God that God touched me. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't want to lose the touch of God. I don't want to lose the touch of the Spirit from my life. It's so desperately important to us. And God has brought us to this place that He might know there's some people that love me. There's some people looking for me. There's some people I'm going to take home to be a part of my eternal kingdom. In fact, I'm going to think so much of them, I'm going to marry them to my son. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is going to be the heavenly bridegroom. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. But let me tell you something. I don't have to wait till death takes my body down to the grave in hope of a better resurrection. I don't have to wait until the trumpet of God sounds for me to enter into a proper relationship with God. Now, if I was as knowledgeable as I should be, I'm sure I'd know more about this false teaching of the manifest sons of God. But I'm going to tell you something I do know. It's right here in God's Word. Can I read it to you? 1 John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now. June 26th, 2001. He could come today. But if He doesn't, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Woo! He adopted me.
Oh, hallelujah. He chose me. Oh, thank God. I'm lovely, wretched, bound by the powers and forces of sin. He loved me, hallelujah, and brought me into the family of God. And beloved, now are we the sons of God? No, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, hallelujah, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him Woo, glory to God. Heaven bound. From one glory to the next glory, being changed into the image of Christ. Oh, rapture. Why get so excited? Because He's already given us the earnest of the Spirit. He's already given us the earnest. He's given us some heaven to go to heaven in. I have no doubt that there's a heaven. I have no doubt that Jesus has prepared for me a mansion. I have no doubt that I shall stand in His presence. I have no doubt about the marriage supper of the Lamb. I have no doubt about the judgment seat of Christ. I have no doubt about it because I've already got the earnest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. 52 years ago, on January 9th, I went to an old-fashioned altar, starving in my soul for something to satisfy. I'd already been saved. I was already striving to be a Christian for God. But that night, at the old-fashioned altar, pouring my heart out to God, worshiping and magnifying Him, forgetting about the people round about me, I began to exalt His name and say, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, that blessed Holy Ghost came and filled this body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And all these years, hallelujah, He's been right there. It didn't matter what men said. It didn't matter what the trends of religion were. It didn't matter what the young people did or what the older saints did. There was within us the earnest of our inheritance in the depths of our soul that kept us pressing along just a little longer. Hallelujah. And the trumpet of God shall sound just a little longer. Come on. It was in the 40s. It was in the 50s. In the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. It's in the year 2000. On. He's coming, hallelujah. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hey, brother, you're a fanatic. Hey, I always have been since I met Jesus. That's right. I don't want to be cold. I won't lose that fire. I won't keep the fire on the altar. And I don't want to dabble in sin and allow the world to make inroads into my life. For my Bible says, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? And it also says, He will not dwell in unclean temple. That's a lot of the problem in the church world today. There's so much world. And crept in. So much world. Until the Holy Ghost has had to move over. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost by force. You got a hunger. And if we don't follow Him and are sensitive to Him, we'll grieve Him. And the first thing you know, He'll be gone. He's not going to stick around with a bunch of troublemakers. And He's not going to stick around with a bunch of worldlings. And He's not going to inhabit temples that are defiled. And if folks began to doubt Him, He'll be gone. Hallelujah. But oh, glory to God. He hath given us the privilege of being swallowed up into heaven, full of the Holy Ghost and the fire of Almighty God. I believe we're going to be raised up just like Jesus was, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And when I began to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and talk about the rapture, I get into a state of ecstasy. That's not a drug. That's not what young folks are taking nowadays. It's something the Holy Ghost gives. Hallelujah. I can get excited about Jesus.
Woo! Hallelujah! I can get excited about Jesus! I understand why some folks can't get excited about Jesus. They'll say, well, I'm too old, or they'll say, I'm too refined. Well, I think I was refined before I got saved. Before I got the Holy Ghost, and then God took the starch out of me, I began to live. Hallelujah. And I get in a state of ecstasy. And that simply means to me, get outside yourself. Get outside yourself. If there's any salvation for the wholeness church, it is to get outside of ourselves and into the Spirit of God. That's where we're missing it. That's where we're missing it. We go through forms. Now I'm talking about Pentecost. I'm talking about holiness. We go through forms. We go through rituals. We get it all laid out. We know how it's going to be. And the Holy Ghost can't break through. He can't break through. We got a strong rain on Him. And we're dying. We're dying. And have a generation of young people in our churches who've never experienced the miraculous, the mighty outpouring of God's Holy Ghost. I just feel a fire burning in my soul when I begin to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and step into that plane of ecstasy. Get outside myself. Begin to worship God. And you know, the more I study about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the more I spend time now, thinking about God's Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance, the more amazed I become. Why did God love us anyhow? Why did Jesus die for us anyway? Why go to all the trouble of trying to dig people out of the 20th century and the 21st century who are so steeped in modernism that they just can't seem to break through to them? It's because He loved us. It's because He really cared. It's because He was really concerned. Oh, thank God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there in the second chapter of Acts, it's related. And they were all in one accord. And they were all in one place. Some things happened there that never happened again in the church since the day of Pentecost. One accord. One place. They were all filled. Amen. They were. I'm going to ask you, but are you filled with the Holy Ghost and fire this morning? I doubt it that everybody is. Everybody in the place is not filled. But the day of Pentecost, they were filled. Hallelujah. And they were all of one accord, moving and had all things common. Had all things common. Hallelujah. And you know, those things just aren't present with us nowadays in the church. But oh, if we could just let the Holy Ghost come in. What happened? They were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven. Some folks have doubts about us because we're Pentecostal. Some folks would just as soon pass it by. But suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the place where they were sitting. They set upon the heads of each of them cloven tongue like as a fire. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Oh, I want you to know, they got outside themselves. They got beside themselves. They were praising. They were magnifying God. Peter wasn't up there saying, now everybody stand and everybody wave your hand and everybody sing this chorus and everybody clap your hand. No, no. The Holy Ghost came on them and they yielded the Spirit of God and they all praised and magnified Almighty God. You know what happened? 3,000 souls were at the Lord. They found a church that was alive. They found a church that was full of expectancy. They found something that was real. Something that was genuine. Hallelujah. We got to have that. You can forget it. You can pass it aside. You can go on in your own pretense of Pentecost and holiness without the earnest of the Spirit. My friend, you'll lose it all. I believe, and this may mess up your theology, I believe that every born-again believer should be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
You say, preacher, you're saying I can't go to heaven if I don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Will that keep me from going? And I guess I got this. I haven't been saved very long. And old brother evangelist came and said, no, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying what's keeping you from having the baptism of the Holy Ghost may keep you out of heaven. Pride, self-will, determination to put yourself above the plan and will of God. Maybe a little flesh in there that's keeping you from humbling and yielding to God. A little pride, you know, that just kind of holds you back from being obedient. I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I know it was for me, that was just the beginning. And since that day, I've turned my eyes heavenward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've kept them on the eastern sky. Glory to God, knowing that in such an hour as I think not, the Son of Man will come. My, what a day that's going to be. Let's look at that scripture over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm coming to an end as rapidly as I can. I really don't feel like it. Hallelujah. I'd just like to go from here to heaven. I'd just like to go from here in the rapture. Glory to God, we could go together. Woo! Hallelujah. What a day, what a day, what a day. Talk about a camp meeting. Talk about a fellowship. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Forgive me. Going home. Going home. Hallelujah. Getting out of here. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Verse 13, chapter 4. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, last year, we were here in camp meeting, and our choir was here, and Sister Miller was here with us. And some of you remember her, a little lady that had the cancer. And she was seeking deliverance. We say, well, sadly, the day came that we had to commit her to the dust of the earth and release her to God. And she's not here today. Her family's here, a wonderful, beautiful family. But you know, Brother Miller, now, I said this before, I'm sure. I know where she is today. You'd have to be in our church to understand about Sister Miller. The Spirit of God would come on her and she would just go round and round. I'd be busy the second term, but the Spirit of God was just spinning her like a top, and the joy and the ecstasy of God was welling up in her heart, and she was reaching out to God. Glory to God. I know where she is. And one day, I don't believe it's going to be too long, we're going to be able to see her. For let me tell you this for sure, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That tells me He's coming. God said it. That settles it. He's coming. Hallelujah. He's going to bring those who sleep with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Woo! For the Lord Himself. Hallelujah. That same Jesus, glory to God, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, you know, these Thessalonian Christians, they were looking for Him any day, and they were keeping themselves pure. Now what about us? Are you looking for Him any day? Are you keeping yourself pure? Then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if you have any wonders about when the rapture is going to take place,
He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I cannot recommend to you to look for the tribulation. You've got to look for the rapture. Hallelujah. You've got to comfort yourself. He's coming. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Did you hear me? What a beautiful day. Oh, you don't believe He could come today. But He could. What a beautiful day for Him to call His children home. Oh, how long. How long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. Glory to God. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. That first text, Matthew 24. Oh, folks, be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man.